This is Crime Connections. We're your host. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Leah.
Today, I wanted to get into... I've been seeing this case circulating on my Facebook and my Instagram, so I thought it'd be interesting to get into because it's yet another case that I thought was really big. I've heard a little bit here and there about it, but I don't actually know the case. Mm-hmm. And mentioning it to a few other people, they actually never heard it, period. So...
Like
who knows?
Me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong when I think cases are big. I have no idea. But today we're going to talk about the Andersons. In early April 2000, 45-year-old Leslie Allen, 13-year-old Rachel Anderson, and 12-year-old Cameron Anderson, and 9-year-old Kyle Anderson were reported missing when Leslie missed her court date in regards to a visitation court date to the children's father, Jeff Anderson. Now, what is weird is that I could not find an exact date. There was some that said April 11th and then some that said April 14th.
That's so strange.
Yes. And then even in like the Charlie Project, because you know how like missing kids, they always have those. Yeah. It doesn't say an exact
date. It just says April 2000.
It says early April.
That's really strange.
Yes. And then, oh, and even on the, where the case happened is in Mississippi. Even on the Mississippi website, it says early April. It does not give an exact date, which I think is weird.
I mean, we might get into this, so I may be speaking ahead, but the father, Jeff Anderson, hasn't come out and said
like,
what date, because he was there at the court date.
Yeah, no, I have not found an
and
exact
date. He hasn't
date.
Come out and said,
I've just seen both April 11th and the 14th. I don't know which one's right.
Maybe it's because she didn't come to the court date, but maybe it was possible they could have been missing before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I kind of get it, but I don't know.
It's weird.
That is a little weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's like, when was the court date? Why don't they know the court date?
Yeah. Why haven't they tried to figure out a timeline of like the date?
It's weird. Strange. So they were reported missing early April of 2000.
Okay.
Jeff Anderson and Leslie Allen married in Wisconsin in 1985 and lived there until they later got divorced in 1997. So they're almost married for 12 years.
Yeah.
But unfortunately got divorced, which is a long time, actually. I mean, not for marriage, but kind of. Before the marriage, Leslie had 3 children from a previous relationship, Chris, Stephanie, and Greg. Jeff would later adopt these children, so then they become his. But from what I understand, I don't think they take his last name.
Okay, so they were still
I could be
just
wrong,
Allen.
But I don't think they did.
Okay.
Stephanie and Greg had special needs, so they were always going to live with one or the other.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you know this, but when people have special needs, when they turn 18, they are their own guardianship. Mm-hmm. Someone is in charge of their finances and that type of thing. Like, they'll have a caseworker typically, if not a family member, but they are their own person. You are not like their guardian anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of, it becomes the parent or whoever's really kind of like in charge of them. It becomes their responsibility. Even to kind of like help them find a group home to live in. I know there's a lot of organizations that their job is to help people with special needs live in like a home with other people that have special needs and help give them their medications and take them to their doctor's appointments and take them on like fun outings. So.
Yeah, because there's a difference between a power of attorney than a guardian.
Yeah.
They're like not a child that needs a guardian. They need more of a power of attorney sort of thing. Because, like, if you go to the doctors, they're their own guarantor. So they're their own responsibility of their appointments and things like that. I just want to mention that for later because it gets into question. A lot of people are, like, very confused later on about that.
Okay.
So Jeff and Leslie went on to have 3 more children together, making them have 6 children. And the children they had together was Rachel, Cameron, and Kyle. They do have the last name Anderson.
Okay.
I know for a fact. So when Jeff and Leslie divorced in 1997, Jeff then moved to Rising Sun, Indiana, and Leslie moved to Mississippi with Cameron, Kyle, and Rachel, as well as the 2 older children, Stephanie and Greg.
Okay.
Now, Chris at this time was an adult, and he moved out, but he lived in the same city as Jeff, obviously showing that their relationship was strong.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at him as a dad, and he wanted to stay close to him. Now, when Leslie and the 5 children moved to Fulton, Mississippi, they moved in with a male friend of Leslie's. So this guy, they never name him. And I mean never. So I don't know what his name is. but the friend has a decent sized property that he owns, and there's two mobile homes on this property. So they split it up and kind of live in between those two homes.
Okay.
Or mobile homes.
Okay.
Now at this time, Leslie was not working, so she kind of was just living there for free from what I could gather. Now, per the divorce agreement, the children were supposed to call Jeff every Saturday, but as April came mm-hmm. closer and closer, the calls became less and less, and which was concerning to Jeff, but I mean, there's only so much you can do if they're not answering and you right. live so far away.
Yeah, you can't just drop what you're doing and kind of like mm-hmm. go to them, because then you go to them and everything's okay, and then it's kind of like, all right, well, yeah. now I gotta go back home.
And with her having full custody of the children, mm-hmm. it kind of also makes it a little difficult. But I know for a fact, like, coming from a divorced family, if that were our agreement between me and my mm-hmm. my dad and my parents and stuff, my dad would have taken us to court in 2 seconds if we wouldn't have called. Like, if that were in the court documents mm-hmm. stating I had to call my dad every Saturday, in 2 seconds, like, but I get it is difficult because you're so far. So yeah. it's a little different.
And I think each person's different. I mean, Jeff seems like a great man and a great father, but maybe because he was with Leslie for so long, he trusted that, well, you know, there's a lot, calls are becoming less frequent.
And you get older and
yeah. maybe there's a reason.
Yeah.
And he knows too, has Stephanie and Greg, who are special needs, to kind of take care of. So maybe too, yeah. he's giving her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but I'm sure at some point he's getting like, okay, enough is enough.
Like, you got to call me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're my kids. Jeff was seeking the court's permission to see the children for 2 weeks in July and then again in August, because he wasn't seeing them obviously very frequently.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to get that approved. And like I had mentioned earlier, but in April of that year, that's when they were supposed to go to court to confirm plans for visitation, but that's when she never showed. And so Jeff then reached out to Leslie's roommate trying to figure out where they were, like what's going on, mm-hmm. why didn't she show to her court date? And I'm assuming these court dates are Zoom type of things, because since they live so far away. And I know during COVID, it became a really big thing.
Deal.
So I'm wondering if they had something similar, because webcams were a thing in
2000. Yeah. Yeah, they
so
were.
I'm assuming that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. And I've even known times where, like during a court case, they'll call the other court and more or less it's like you're on a conference call, mm-hmm. so that could even be something they were doing. Yeah. so
I'm assuming it was something along the lines of that, because yeah. of obviously them living in two different states. So then when Jeff reached out to her roommate, this is when Jeff was told that she had left in the middle of the night with a truck driver,
what?
Taking her three younger kids and leaving Stephanie and Greg, the two with the special needs, in his care.
What?
Now everyone in the family thought this was super weird, because she never would leave her two kids with special needs.
No.
Because that's a big deal. Like, yeah. you're expecting some random person to be taking care of them.
Well, and like up to this point, her care as a mother has never been into question.
Yes.
So,
and obviously she got full
custody
of them.
Hard to believe. Yeah.
You know,
that she would just leave them.
Yeah. Up in the middle of nowhere. So that was really odd. And Jeff was very concerned. He was questioning this, because why would she randomly leave?
Mm-hmm.
And so then Leslie and her three youngest children have never been seen or heard from since.
That is so strange.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the roommate was questioned again, he had changed the story that Leslie actually took the kids in her brown station wagon, and she had like owned this prior to knowing him. But then later, like years later, it was actually found abandoned on his property by the trailers.
What?
And the police are not looking into this whatsoever.
So
the family is doing all these investigations. So the family went to the house and found the station wagon that he was claiming. So like every time they talked to this roommate, they were finding a different story that he was coming up with.
That is so suspicious.
Because she is an adult and she has full custody, she does not need Jeff's permission to go to another state. She doesn't need his permission to do anything. The only legal agreement they technically had was the call that like every Saturday situation, but they weren't even doing that. And I don't think the court was taking him seriously, such as him saying like, why are they calling me? I can't get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Nothing. So because of all this, lack of help from the police mm-hmm. department, Chris and Jeff, Chris is the son again, just to remind you, hired a private investigator, and that's when they had found that she had not used her bank account since being reported missing. There have been no sightings of them anywhere, and no school records were requested, no doctor, you know, like when you change to a different town, you typically request your records from the pediatrician and that sort of thing to, you know, continue care and make sure, mm-hmm. you know, you have records of shots and all that. None of that has been requested or used or anything. And after years of attempting to get answers and see justice, Chris finally was able to get the school records. And from what I could tell, because this, all of this is, a lot of this information is coming from the Charlie Projects, the website, that the Mississippi website, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then their Facebook. Because other than that, the three articles that I found, that was all that was on this case.
It's three missing children and their mom.
Yeah.
And that's all.
That's it.
And she left two kids behind.
Yeah. And granted, when she left, they were adults, which is why I mentioned the whole when you're special needs, just mm-hmm. because you have special needs does not mean you need a parent. You can live with whoever you want. And as long as they're not reporting anything, mm-hmm. like the government is not going to do anything because it's another problem they don't have to deal with. And I'm not saying that lightly. I don't mean that to be insensitive, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So because the two children, well, not children, they're adults, because they have special needs, it kind of like is not their government's problem. They can't be reported missing because they're adults, sort of thing. And people have seen them. Like they've had wellness checks on them and stuff. So going back to him getting the school records, mm-hmm. this showed some really interesting things because it showed that Rachel did not return to school after April 5th. Kyle did not return to school after April 7th, and Cameron did not return to school after April 10th. So where,
oh my gosh.
Like, where why is Rachel? It so inconsistent?
Yeah.
Why was the 5th to the 10th? That's five whole days of randomness.
That makes sense now with the whole early April, like not having a specific date. That makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I guess I'd love to know, do they have copies of, like, notes why Rachel was gone out of school for 5 days? Because I know in 2000, I mean, I was, what, 9? I know for a fact that if you missed, like, a few days and you didn't have a doctor's note, you would get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you can only have so many days that you miss.
Like, you can only miss 3 days without a doctor's note.
Yeah.
Until then they're like, wait.
You need to have a doctor's note. Something's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Unless it was like a vacation that was previously planned and talked about or something like that.
Maybe.
You know?
I don't know. Actually, that is strange, though. But yeah, but for all of them to have different days, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. To me, it truly seems that the police have done nothing in regards to them disappearing from what I'm reading and what I'm looking up. Very little research has been done on where they've gone. And from what I can tell, the roommate's property has never been searched.
That blows my mind.
He's never been questioned. Like, the police haven't even gone to him and asked him, like, where are they? Nothing has been done. It's kind of crazy. But with the court order, like I said, I don't understand how they didn't look into it because he's never heard from his kids since.
Yeah, I guess that's my question, though. It's like, how come family... the police don't want to get involved, and the detectives are like, well, the kids are with their guardians, so they're not really missing. They're mm-hmm. with their sole custodial parent or whatever. But then family court, why aren't you somehow getting involved? Why aren't you sending, like, Children Protective Services or opening up your own investigation and then getting the police involved that way?
Yeah, because they're not going to school, and I know that's illegal.
Truancy.
You can't not go to school.
Right.
And if she's homeschooling, you have to register that they're homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's where... Like,
you have to be able to put eyes on them. That is just very sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
sad. And I mean, Jeff, from what I could read, he's not, like, loaded. He can't just, like, travel to Mississippi and be searching for them while also working a full-time... Like, it's just not realistic.
Like, he's limited to the resources that he can mm-hmm. really even, like, tap into.
Well, and luckily, with social media becoming such a thing, mm-hmm. he has that on his side now, which is really cool, because in early 2000s, I mean, that wasn't a thing. You know, MySpace didn't become a thing until, what, 2000? I mean, really, till like 2007?
Yeah.
Eight?
Yep.
When it became big, like a big deal. I mean, it was a thing for a while, but not...
Your top 10 friends.
Yeah, you know? So it's like, he just did not have the resources to pursue
And that's this. Sad too, because again, he seems like he was a really great father, a great man, and he was just trying to, he just wanted to see his kids. And that's the thing too, he wasn't like going to court, because I could see how some people might argue and say, oh, well, he was taking her to court, so she didn't want to show up because she didn't want anything taken away from her. He wasn't for one second trying to take custody away from her. He just wanted some vacation during their summer vacation so he could spend time with them
and actually see them.
So I do not think this is a case where she's like, okay, kids, we've got to go because and your dad's away. Trying to take you from me. I don't see that at all.
Well, no, because there's no indication.
None.
And from both Chris coming, I mean, Chris has a Facebook in regards to these kids missing and his mom missing, and he's very active on it, and he's never once said anything bad about Jeff, never saying anything like, oh, Jeff did this, blah, 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 blah. No. Like, he looks at him as a dad.
And well, and these kids are older, 13, 12, and 9. I mean, I don't think that this is a case either where she's, like, taking the kids and she's going to convince them that they need to basically start a new life. I just, I don't know. I can't believe that the guy that they were staying with isn't being questioned more. I just,
it makes
no
sense.
I'm so flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And the fact that she just left Stephanie and Greg behind.
Yeah, when she, like, clearly, she took them to Mississippi. She clearly cares enough about them to, like, because in reality, she could have gave up custody to Jeff and when they got divorced in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, there is no reason for her, if she didn't care about them and, like, the well-being, there's no reason, because he legally adopted
them. If it was too much for her, she so easily could have said, I want you to keep the kids. I have Stephanie and Greg I have to take care of. But she was very confident in being able to take care of all of them by herself.
All of her kids, yeah.
So I just... Are they still in that guy's care?
Yeah, so Stephanie and Greg are still in the male's care, according to Chris. On Facebook, the friend refuses to let him or his dad speak to them through, like, he's campaigning that there's a fear, like, not to be mean, but some people with disabilities and mental disabilities and slowness and stuff like that, they can be convinced of things that are not real.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the caretaker, now the roommate, is convincing them, like, they're dangerous. They are, like, he's instilling fear in them.
That is so sad.
Yeah, so.
I just don't understand how they're not, I don't understand. I don't understand how they're not, this isn't enough for them to, like, look into and be like, all right, you have a pretty big piece of property here, buddy. What's going on? Let us look at it.
Where are they? What is happening? Yeah, so apparently the friend is, this is, take this with a grain of salt, because I can't prove any of this. This is just what I'm reading in the comments on Facebook and, like, the statuses and stuff. But apparently the idea is he's keeping them to keep their disability checks.
I can totally see
Which totally
see
makes sense.
That.
It's a very realistic thing.
It is.
Now, like I said, because they are older, like, they're right now, I think they're in their 30s and 40s. So they're older, like, they don't have, they don't need a guardian.
No,
they're,
but their money gets taken care of, and that is,
yes. Now, because a lot of people were coming forward and saying, well, why isn't the dad fighting for them?
But even, like, there's associations for adults with disabilities. Like, I can't believe that even they're not getting involved and saying, like, okay, that's cool that you say she left them in your care, but how about we open up our own investigation and make sure that that's legit and that she actually wanted you to care for her two children that she's never been accused of not caring for up until now.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, I know of cases where they've questioned disability checks for something so minor, and the person's not even, like, mentally special needs or mentally disabled.
Yeah.
It kind of just blows my mind.
Yeah, I remember a case where it was, like, an epilepsy. Like, they were getting disability checks from having epilepsy, and someone was taking advantage of them, and they're mentally all there.
Yeah.
So,
I'm really kind of blown away by this.
Yes. Now, Chris still tries to contact Greg and Stephanie, but unfortunately they don't pick up his calls. They don't talk to him because they're afraid. And I don't know what stories this guy has told them, and I can't imagine, unfortunately. But I'm sure they're confused because they haven't seen their mom in years.
Or their siblings. Like, I bet you anything, those three siblings probably loved them and were so good with them as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing. In my line of work, we deal with a lot of special needs patients. We take care of a lot of them. And they are the sweetest people that you'll ever meet. They're the sweetest people. But I've also found a lot of them, they have, like, the greatest memory.
Yeah.
Like, they can remember my dog's name. Some of them remember my oldest daughter's name. And I don't see them very often. So, for me, it's hard to believe that. I mean, I would love to know what lies he's spreading to Stephanie and Greg. Because I doubt that they were able to just so quickly forget how loving their mother and their siblings
were. Yeah. I agree. Or even their dad or their older brother that they haven't seen in over 24 years. Yeah, they were married
for 12 years. It wasn't just like a tiny little, like, oh, this isn't working out. A couple years later, it's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Chris Anderson, the brother, he runs the Facebook account from what I can tell. Or at least one of the family members does, because they are very close to they were close to the children and the mom. And they talk about a lot. They are still very much looking into the case and hoping that it gets some traction. And even though they came up with a podcast, they have their own podcast.
Oh, okay.
Sort of thing and all of that. Like I said, the children have not made any contact with anybody in the family. It seems like they are
deceased.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's been 24 years. I don't see a mom like they would have come forward by now. They're
in the roommate's backyard.
Yeah.
Telling well.
So I was
that a theory?
Yes, it is. I was on Facebook on their page looking at a lot of people local are commenting on them, and obviously not local as well, but a lot of them are local. And they'll talk about the times of living there and riding the school bus with the kids and things like that. Mm-hmm. And one girl specifically mentioned that when they went missing, it was not in the town. It was not, oh, they're missing.
Yeah.
They just disappeared one day and that was it.
That was it.
And the girl was like mentioning how every time they drove past the property, this guy had more and more dirt brought in. And there was just so much dirt on the property that...
And that's totally something that a kid would, like, recognize. Notice. Yeah, because it's cool. So it's like, wow, look at that. Where us adults, we'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Well, all the kids, though, she mentioned that all the kids on the bus talked about it.
Sorry, that was my elbow.
Oh, ow.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. All the kids talked about it, and they were confused. Like, why is he bringing in all this dirt?
Yeah.
Well, then another person commented on her comment and was like, oh, he brought in a bomb shelter, and dug it in the ground and then covered all of it with dirt. So a lot of the speculation is he buried those children in her underneath the shelter and then put it on top of them and then buried the shelter. And a lot of people talked about this and brought it up to cops, but the cops didn't search the property. They didn't look into it. They didn't nothing.
How is there not enough to be like, we need to look into this? Does he have ties with law enforcement? Because I feel like every case that we ever do that's like this, where it seems like the police are just very like, meh, hands off, the person that we think is just without a doubt guilty has ties with law enforcement. And that's how they're able to just completely get out of it.
Yeah, I don't know, because like I said, they don't mention his name ever, like in articles, nothing. They just mention that he's the roommate. But then I did find in comments in a later post, because I went as far back as I could, and I found a post talking about how it's actually her ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
the roommate.
Oh.
And so I don't know if, like, why are you living with your ex-boyfriend? I don't know. Like, that was really weird to me. But then I also came across the dad, Jeff, talking. Like, I found they posted a court document. And it talks about how Jeff kind of questions her as a mom. And how if she were to be arrested, what would happen to the kids? He really wants custody of the kids, but he doesn't want her to go to jail. Like, he cares about her still.
Why would she be arrested? What was she doing?
And they were, because he was saying, like, for a he's like, well, what if she's traveling and she gets arrested for a traffic violation? Would I get to custody of the kids? Because I don't want her to get in trouble, but I don't want the kids going into foster care. I want them to come to me because I am their dad. And so it shows his character that he really cares about her. And you know, things like that, and that's kind of why they posted it.
But that's also kind of strange though, to be like, what would happen if she gets arrested for a traffic violation? Like, why would she get arrested for a traffic violation?
Well, he was kind of under the suspicion of her mental health is not the greatest.
Oh, okay.
And so he kind of was going along those lines of saying, you know, well, if she gets pulled over and she goes kind of crazy and she gets arrested because she's acting that way, what would happen to the children? I do not want them to go into foster care. I want them to come to me, sort of thing. It's kind of like the line of thought on
that. Well, yeah, and I get that. I mean,
but I understand why he was asking, because he is states away. So it's not like it's like...
Yeah, that does make sense. I mean, I would be...
And he even says, he's like, I don't want her to get in trouble. I don't want anything like that to happen. But if my kids were to be taken, well, and not I need
even,
to know.
Not even if she were to get arrested, but like if something happened. Like, what if there was an accident or something happened and... she was not able to care for them. Yeah, there is like a, you want to make sure that the chain of custody is as him. It should be, that it goes to him next. And he was probably saying, I wanted to come, they need to come to me, not to this random guy that she's living with. So I get
or
that.
Or the system.
Yeah, I do get
and
that.
He was very concerned about that, because he's like, I understand I'm far away, but at the same time, they're mine. They're my children. Like, they need to come to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of where he was going with that, which makes sense. Oh, and then I saw another theory that was coming through on the comments and stuff, is that the roommate / ex-boyfriend was mentioning, oh, she ran off with another man and went to Mexico. That was another one of his theories, or not even a theory, but like lies. His lies.
Yeah.
And again, nothing was looked into that. On another Facebook post, because there's a lot of posts on here and I was trying to read as many as I could.
Yeah.
But... another one is the family went and talked to the sheriff's department about the missing report.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think they were trying to figure out a date of when was this actually filed.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of brings back to why I couldn't find a date.
Yeah.
So when they went to get that report, the cops couldn't find it. It was never actually filed.
Oh.
So.
My gosh.
That obviously brings a huge red flag of, okay, well, it was never actually technically filed.
Were you ever going to file it?
So that makes sense on why the cops weren't looking into it, because they never filed it.
But even after it was filed, it doesn't even seem like they really
cared
about it.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, oh, she ran off with the kids. To me, it seems like they're chalking it up to she ran off with the kids because she didn't want the husband to have the kids type story. And
yeah, it's kind of like the line of thought they're trying to
I just don't think that's portray. The case. All the time.
Yeah, and well, even the neighbors of the, when they lived on this property, neighbors came forward and said, we didn't even know she was gone. Like, we didn't know she was even missing. Because not one single
cop was coming around or asking questions.
Anything.
That's terrible.
They're neighbors. Like, come on, people.
Like, even if you think that that's what happened, even if you think, like, okay, I'm pretty sure she just ran off with her kids, then your job is super easy. It won't take you very long to figure that out. It'll take you less than a day. It'll take you just a visit there and doing some looking around and making sure that there's nothing that seems out of place or missed. To me, what would have been a huge red flag is, okay, she took her three kids, but she left two behind to this guy that she doesn't really know that well. That just to me is just very, I don't know.
Well, and she could have put them in a home. She could have given them back.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
She could have asked Jeff to take care of them. Yeah. She could have asked Chris to take care of them. Like, I mean, there's a lot of options where she could have stayed within the family.
There are so many organizations where people, like family members, I've even talked to some of them, and they say, it's not that I didn't want to have my child in my home, but I'm trying to give them some independence because they're older and they're their own person now. And even though they have special needs, they still deserve to kind of like have their own life.
In community
and sometimes it is too difficult for them to take care of them. And I get that. But there's so many organizations that's what they do.
Yeah.
They take over care for your child and they do a very good job with it.
Yeah. And there's neighbors now that have come forward and say they've seen them walking a dog. They seem happy. Aww. They're in good spirits. And that sucks to hear because it's like, well, he's...
It does, but it's just because he's manipulated the crap out of
them. And then also neighbors came forward and said that he has heart issues and that he might die from them. So what if he dies? Then what are they going to do?
They'll just... I mean, I guess that's probably when Jeff and Chris will be able to stand in. Mm-hmm. But then... I guess what I fear is that they're going to be like, no, we don't want to go with you guys. You guys are horrible people.
Yeah, we're too
like
afraid of
everything.
You.
Yeah. Oh,
and then the government's going to come in and put them in a government system. And that's it.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So sad. But with maybe they'll, at that time, that Chris and Jeff will be able to maybe go see them.
Maybe.
So Stephanie, I know they have letters of her writing and missing her family. I don't know how they got these letters, or I don't know if they're old from, like, when they actually were in the family still.
Yeah.
But, like, the grandma is still alive to this day and comes forward and talks about how she misses her grandkids so much. And she has letters of Stephanie writing to her saying she misses her and stuff. And she's under the impression Stephanie doesn't even know that she's still alive. She's he's telling them that we're dead.
Yeah, probably.
Which... is very likely.
Yeah.
I've also read the roommate / ex-boyfriend, whatever he may be. So once the family came to the property and said, like, found the car and stuff, that he later sold her car.
Of course he did.
It was never taken for evidence or anything because they're not even looking into it as a missing case. They're kind of taking it as, well, she's a guardian. She's in charge. Of the children.
He probably knew that they found the car and he's like, well, huh, damn, I should probably get rid of it now.
Mm-hmm.
When no one came to take it, it was probably like, all right, well,
it is what it
is. It is gone.
And I get the money from it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So really, they're just left with nothing. There is a few local news companies that did publish their missing reports, their missing flyers and stuff. But as regards to the police, from what I can tell, they have really done nothing.
Shame
now, at this point, they should. I mean, there's no way 24 years. Come on. They're missing. You are looking for a body. You need to be taking this more seriously. And unfortunately, if this guy is sick and he dies, his property is going to be sold.
Yeah.
And then what?
Is that when something finally will happen?
Yeah. Because I don't think the two children living with him are... Or not children. The two adults living with him with the special needs, I don't think they're going to be able to keep it up.
Oh, no. No, no, no. They wouldn't be deemed fit. Like, they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. So...
Because they're not able to live, like, on their own without some type of, like, supervision. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't be allowed to stay there.
Yeah, alone. That's why I think what's going to end up happening is the government's going to step in and take them and put them in a government home.
And those aren't always the best.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
And I think that's what's going to end up
happening. And they'll probably get separated, and they've never been separated their entire lives, which is also extremely traumatic.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe, but it just sucks because since they're manipulated, Chris or Jeff is going to have a really hard time getting them.
Yeah, they will.
So,
especially because they won't have their cooperation. They're not going to be like, oh my gosh, we've missed you guys. Of course we want to come live with you. Of course we want to come be with you. They're going to be like, no, you're terrible people.
You're evil. You're, yeah.
You've did these horrible things. We can't come with you. And that just makes it even harder.
It's very unfortunate. Sad. Right now, there's no suspects. There's no evidence. There's nothing, unfortunately. So it's now been 24 years since they have been seen or heard from. I can't imagine as a parent not knowing what happened to my children. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but not getting any help. Not even being believed that they're missing.
No one really listening
to you. Yeah. It's very unfortunate. And at this time, it is very unlikely that they are alive. I am sure it would bring some closure to Jeff to know at least where they are and what happened to them. I don't know if he will get those, unfortunately. I don't know.
I don't.
Unless he dies and someone comes for... Unless he dies, someone buys property and, like, ask a cop to come and search the property.
Yeah.
With, like hey, sonar
things.
I just don't...
Or, like, neighbors even come over and say, hey, we think that you should know what the rumors are about this property. Or, like, if someone buys the property, Jeff or Chris can be like, hey, we're pleading with you. Can you please, like, let us do this? Or something like that.
Something along the lines
never,
of that.
No, they're never going to know.
No. Obviously, if you have any information on this case, please contact the Rising Sun Police Department at 812-438-3636. That is where Jeff lives, which I don't think that makes sense to me, then why you would call them, but I guess people are asking. Or you can call Itawamba County Sheriff's Department at 662-862-3401. As always, we thank you for listening to Crime Connections. If you would so kindly please follow, share, and go like us on Facebook at Crime Connections, or follow us on Instagram at Crime Connections Pod. If you have any news, tips, or cases you want us to look into, please feel free to email us or DM us. We really do love hearing from you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.